Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's a short chapter, only 16 verses, and we'll listen to our guest reader, Dr. Michael Elliott, my former pastor and chairman of the board of the Ezra Project for 14 years, Dr. Elliott, as he reads 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret, hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him." These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Oh, I wish it were so, that I could have the mind of Christ. That's what I wrote in my journal in 1994 after reading this chapter. And then I wrote, "Stay focused, know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Faith rests on the power of God." Those were my journal entries in 1994. In 2004, I read 1 Corinthians 1 through 4 on the same day, but I did highlight a couple of verses in chapter 2. I wrote, "Paul taught, not with fancy words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He boldly proclaims, 'We have the mind of Christ.' Wow!" And in 2015, I read 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 on the same day, and I wrote, "Paul did not persuade people to become Christians. He demonstrated the Spirit and power of God by faith. In witnessing, this is important. I will not convince someone to become a Christian. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I provide witness and testify of my own salvation and watch the Holy Spirit do the work, not the wisdom of men." And then I wrote, "I long to have the mind of Christ. I pray for it often, especially related to Gideon discussions and the Ezra Project." Paul opens chapter 2 with this persuasive argument, though he says he didn't come proclaiming with great speech, lofty speech, or great wisdom. He does articulate his point very, very well, doesn't he? He says, "I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." He goes on to say, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And as I wrote in one of my journals, that is so important. It is not our eloquency that's going to convince someone to come to saving faith in Christ. It is the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them into faith in Christ. I am so thankful that it's not on my eloquent words that eternity depends for someone's life. And it's amazing that the great Apostle Paul understood the very same thing. Paul is clear what we do share with people. He continues on in this chapter and he says, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. We impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory." And then he quotes Isaiah 64:4, "As it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." And then he continues, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So we can share with people from a spiritual perspective the wisdom that God gives us as we open our mouth and proclaim testimony for him. And here's a great verse to remember, verse 11. "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." And Paul continues, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What do I get out of all this? God calls us to be witnesses. There's no question about that in Scripture. But we have to be discerning. If God has not prepared the heart of the person we're sharing with, it will be folly to them. What we have to share is spiritual. And if they are not spiritually prepared, they cannot receive it. So if you begin to get in a conversation with someone and it appears that they're rejecting everything, probably it's best to just stop and wait for a better time. And that's why prayer is so important as we intend to share spiritually with someone. Pray that the Spirit draws them. Pray that the Spirit opens their heart to the things that are spiritual. And then Paul finishes this chapter with this incredible statement, "But we have the mind of Christ." Oh, I want that, Lord. Oh, I pray for that. Father, help me have the mind of Christ. I can't even comprehend what that statement means, Lord, but you said it here in your word that we can have the mind of Christ, so we pray it so. We ask humbly that you impart to us the mind of Christ so that we can be ambassadors for you, we can be witnesses for you, we can speak spiritually on your behalf to those who need to hear spiritual truth. Father, by faith, we ask for the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.